and welcome to the Art and Earth Science channel on Creative Disturbance. My name is Josephine Porter, and today I have with me the producer of the Art and Earth Science channel, Susan Erickson. How are you today, Susan?
Great. Thank you.
All right, so let's go ahead and get started. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself. What is your current profession?
I am now doing external evaluation for STEM programs, science, particularly geoscience. I'm an independent consultant. After many years as a bureaucrat and an academic and working for organizations, I'm now out on my own.
Excellent. So when did you discover your passion for what you're currently doing?
Well, I have many passions. I would say evaluation is something that I picked up over years that I was running programs. I had lots of grants and realized the value of it, so that when I left a big fancy job and decided, you know, thinking about what skills do I have, that was one that I thought, okay, I can go into consulting and sell my expertise to other people who really, I think in geoscience, we've needed some extra and new people who evaluate. That passion has come fairly late in life, and I see it as a passion in general for the earth and for geoscience education. It's a continuation of my science, just a different form of using it.
Right. So what skills did you have to acquire to gain this expertise that you currently have now?
Well, I think one of the benefits that I can bring to projects is that I do know science and I know good education. And there's a lot of people skills that you need in evaluation, such as being able to listen. When I left my last job, someone said, oh, I hate to see you go because you're one of the people who listen. And when you're evaluating a project, you have to be open-minded and let the other person talk a lot. So that skill, I had some statistical quantitative skills. I had to bone up on those. But there's a lot of, well, actually, someone who was an evaluator said, Susan, you've got the skills to do it. And I said, well, I'm not sure. And she said, well, of course you do. And once I got into it, there's things like setting goals. You know, I'm really good at that because I did that in strategic planning and projects. And seeing that goals align with how you measure. Because I'm asked a lot of times, and I hope I'm not getting too far off the subject, but you're asked to write an evaluation plan. And I'm commonly finding that the people haven't really articulated what they want to do or accomplish. And so going back to the beginning, saying, well, what do you really want to do? Then we can talk about how we're going to measure the effectiveness or measure the real impact. So there's a lot of those planning skills, seeing the big picture, and then working down into the detail of the specifics of the evaluation. So I'm not sure what your original question was, Josephine, but I think, you know, all the experience I've had in science and education and project management and working with people come together for this.
Right. One of the skills you mentioned is actually people skills, and that's not something that a lot of people think about. They usually think about what skills do I need in the specific profession, you know, to gain expertise, but they don't really think about, you know, communication in a work environment, you know?
I think you're right there, and I see people today talking about teamwork. We're going to do teamwork, and then I say, well, how are you going to teach teamwork, or how are you going to teach collaboration? And they say, oh, well, it just happens. Well, I don't know. I don't think it does just happen. I have a young woman here. She's a geologist, too, and she works in IT and distance learning, and she's talking about a big project, a big NSF project that involves several campuses in a well-known state, known for its education. And when she talks about her frustrations, it's all the people skills. Talking even about, well, this person approaches something very differently and lack of communication. I say, it's the people skills that actually get you through hard times in projects.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
And people differences, people and personalities, ways of working. I mean, even writing a paper with someone, people have different ways of approaching problems. So you have to, experience is part of it, but I think there's things that people can learn on how to communicate, listen, appreciate people's differences is a big one.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned seeing the big picture and then kind of narrowing it down from there. Is that something that you did for yourself when you were setting goals that you wanted to achieve?
That's what I'll have to think about. I think that that's the way I think. My approach to life is pretty holistic. There are people, and you may have taken some personality tests. I don't know if you have, or ways that you think, how your mind works.
Oh, yes, I definitely have.
All right, so you can probably tell me, too. Mine, if almost every test I take, I have equal talent, almost equal in all the quadrants, whether it's personality or, you know, A, B, or C kinds of tests. So I think that's the kind of person, it's the kind of brain I have. I tend not to start small and go linear, but look at options and what if, what could be, and I think that's the big picture.
Right.
So I think it's hardwired.
Counting all the other options and going from there.
Yeah, I think it's sort of hardwired into me.
Well, excellent. Would you say there were any pivotal moments in your youth that, you know, brought you to where you were? You mentioned that you made some choices later in life to where it affected you currently.
Well, I did think about that after we talked about doing this podcast. And as a child, I lived on a farm, and I had the chance to run around and play. So I think that, not a choice, but I chose to play in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, people ask me how I got into geology, and I said, well, there were rocks around. So I would play with the rocks, and once there were some fossils, I thought, oh, there was a sea here once. You know, I don't think it's particularly, you know, brilliant, but that was a long time ago.
Right.
But those choices, I took science. I think that's one thing, is that I took science in high school and took, well, that's what I was going to talk about too, is that it was either science or music when I went to college, and I chose music. And I don't really know why that final decision, but then I had to take a science content, and actually the honors program said, oh, don't take chemistry, which was my love. They said, all the pre-meds take that. And the secretary popped up and said, take geology, it's easy. And I thought, yeah. But, you know, I think the big decision there, or the big pivotal point, which I was only 19, I guess, at the time, so that puts me in the youth category, but I was in an honors section, and the man was really good, and I got very, very excited about it and said, oh, if I were a freshman again, I would major in geology. And they said, well, you can. And I was a junior then, so my senior year, I chose to take chemistry, physics, calculus, geology field camp. So I had 8 a.m. classes 6 days a week.
Oh, goodness.
I know, when all my friends were making marshmallows and doing their fluffy electives. But that was a choice, but I had found something I was very passionate about. And, you know, it's been a great career. I still love geology and the earth.
Yeah, that's something very rare nowadays, finding something that you're so passionate about that it's worth sacrificing a little bit of social time with friends and family to, you know, make it worthwhile later in life.
Well, I think that's one thing that young people today have more pressure to take college, a major, or courses to prepare them for a job.
Right.
I think there was more, this was back in, I started college in 1967, so I think there was more ability to just get a good education, and we assumed the jobs would come.
Right.
And I think that was a time in our country when if you're smart and well-educated, the jobs did come. I'm not sure that people have that luxury today.
No, that's, I definitely don't think that we have that luxury anymore, and it's sad, and you know, it can be very scary at the same time, you know, that there's no security there.
Right. Well, I think, I don't know. I tend to think that people, yes, go to college a lot for trade, you know, not trade, they're professional, whether it's medical school or being an opera or whatever, it's not traditional trade, but they go to learn certain things, and parents expect them to get a job. I mean, it's very expensive now to go to school.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I mean, it was expensive then, but really, we paid 140 $1,000 a semester for tuition.
What?
Well, it was a long time ago.
That's nowhere near the amount I pay.
No, of course not. And I think it's from what I understand, with prices rising in education, it's a higher proportion of an income than that
right.
was back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of pressures on people that there weren't back then.
Well, given the pressures that, you know, youth face currently compared to, you know, when you were in college, what words of advice would you have for them that, you know, if they're interested in pursuing a career like yours?
Well, despite what we just talked about having to find a job at the end of whatever education, I think it's really important for anybody to do what they love, because if you don't, I think life could be miserable. And I do think that if you have to make choices. I mean, it might be a compromise between A and B, and B will give you a better job in the end. But there's, you know, what does better job mean? I'm sounding, I think I would say to young people, find something you love, and if you're not passionate about it every day, you won't do well at it. And you won't be happy, and if you're not happy, you won't do well at it. So it doesn't mean go off and sit on a beach because it makes you happy. But I said to my daughter once, she said, "Oh, school's so boring." This was eighth grade. And I said, "Well, you know, life's sort of what you make of it. If you can make something not interesting, you can make something not boring if you invest yourself." And I know she came back the next year and she said, "Oh, these kids say they're so bored if they would just invest themselves." So I think kids should work toward making things interesting. If they don't like it, then try something else. And that also means trying a lot of different things you think you might not like. I didn't think I would like geology when I took that course. And turns out it's been, you know, the love of my life.
I know, you've been doing it for so long now.
Yeah, that's right. Different ways, but still, that's why I'm the producer of the Art and Earth Science, because it's still a passion to talk about it and share my passion with other people.
Right. So overall, just pursue what makes you happy and work hard, and it'll all fall into place.
Well, one would hope. You know, I think what makes you happy is something you're good at, too.
Right.
I think people have different predilections toward math or science or music or art. And so if you're good at something, you're more likely to like it. And so if you have the passion and the expertise. And I think it's also good to look at different careers. You know, that's one thing that's different now. The information on the web is just so vast compared to what we had when I came from a small town in Kentucky. And you became a teacher, or you became a music teacher, or you became a nurse, or, I mean, there were just so few options. I didn't even know what the possibilities were at that age. And now there's no excuse for people not knowing all the wonderful possibilities of careers.
Right. Some would say that there are too many options, so they can't pick.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I think a good advisor, you know, you've got a good advisor to sit down with yours and have a chat, because there are people who have experience that can help work through these things.
Right. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, Susan. Don't forget to share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Josephine Porter.
And I'm Susan Erickson.
Thanks again, guys. See you next time.